Miami, South Beach, bringing the heat, It is Sportsnet tonight here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you as it's the Kyle Lowry edition of Sportsnet tonight. In case you missed the breaking news, the greatest Raptor of all time is taking his talents to South Beach. There is no decision special tonight. It's just been announced on social media. Lowry himself on Instagram posting just a few words saying Miami Heat times Kyle Lowry, let's go. Some exclamation marks, some fire emojis as he is set to join his buddy Jimmy Butler down in Miami. We'll talk to Donovan Bennett of Sportsnet just in a few moments' time. But Josh, your initial reactions here with Kyle Lowry set to join the Miami Heat. I guess we've been sort of cushioned for it. There'd been numerous reports, not even heck this year. I mean, we go back to the trade deadline and there were a lot of conversations that maybe Lowry would be on the move to Miami. They ultimately did not pull the trigger on a deal with the Raptors, but this has been bubbling for quite some time that these two parties would eventually come together on some sort of a deal, and he would end up playing down in Miami.
Still waiting to see whether it's just a straight signing into cap space or a sign and trade, but I think it's a sign and trade because I don't believe Miami had enough cap space to pay him $30 million a year, which is what he's reportedly getting on a three-year deal for $90 million total. So I assume it's a sign and trade. There's been all sorts of rumblings, Goran Dragic, Precious Achiuwa, who's an interesting young player. Maybe those guys get rerouted somewhere else. But it's a bittersweet day, man, right? Just considering the last couple of years, Kyle's just cemented himself as one of the most beloved Toronto sports figures of all time, right? I can't think of a single Toronto sports fan, Raptor fan, anyone who just enjoys sports in this city who doesn't love Kyle Lowry. Unassailable legacy, will be in the pantheon, Mount Rushmore, I think, of like this generation's Toronto sports Mount Rushmore. No question about it. The heart and soul plays, just everything about it, the pride for playing in this city and representing this city and this country. It's a real tough day because, you know, you look back on a lot of fond memories, but I'm excited to see what the next chapter for the Raptors looks like. It's not a blank canvas because you've got some holdovers from the championship team, and certainly OG and Van Vliet and Siakam, I think, is probably going to be part of what's going on here in the next chapter of this franchise. But we'll see what they pivot towards, because right now it's not a playoff team, I don't think. Maybe a bottom rung Eastern Conference playoff team, depending on what the rest of the East looks like. But there's going to be a lot of fascinating machinations going on this offseason to see what the Raptors get to come opening day. And chief among them is Masai Ujiri. We still don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, we definitely do not know what's going on with Masai. We're optimistic that he's going to stick around, but still no guarantees of that. So it's Sportsnet tonight here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet Radio Network, the Kyle Lowry edition. We'll take your text at 590-590. Give us your name and your location. We'll also take your phone calls, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590. Your thoughts on Kyle Lowry set to join the Miami Heat. Your thoughts on his legacy as a Toronto Raptor. Your thoughts on him going to Miami and what's next for this Toronto Raptors team. We'll take your calls and texts throughout the hour. But right now, please be joined on the line by Donovan Bennett of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. And Donovan, before we get into the ramifications of what this is going to mean for the Raptors moving forward and for Kyle Lowry down in Miami, just your thoughts on this crazy, wild roller coaster that was Kyle Lowry as a member of the Toronto Raptors.
It was a good run. 9 seasons. That's, for many people, an entire NBA career. And when you think of the way Kyle got here, not starting, people forget that he was in a timeshare with Jose Calderon for the most part. To start, you know, Calderon was beloved, one of the faces of the franchise, and Kyle was, you know, a change of pace coming off the bench, and Kyle had it set in his head that he was going to be here for a short time, not a long time. This is going to be just a pit stop to wherever he was going to get his real first NBA opportunity, so much so that he didn't really invest much time. We in the media know that he didn't invest a lot of time, but he didn't even put the phone numbers of some of his teammates, DeMar DeRozan being one of them, in his phone because he thought he was going to be here for such a short period of time. And then when you fast forward all the way to the end, when, you know, he basically being eulogized on Twitter right now as the greatest Raptor of all time. And he's got the numbers to back it up in terms of being all-time leader in three-point field goals, assists, steals, triple-doubles, hustle plays, whatever metric outside of scoring, which still sits with DeMar DeRozan. Kyle Lowry is at the top of that number. And this is a franchise who, mind you, they didn't spend as much time here, has the benefit of seeing a couple Hall of Famers in their short lifespan. Obviously, Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady and Chris Bosh. And yet, unanimously, Kyle Lowry is the most beloved player in the history of the franchise. So there's lots of, you know, what does this mean moving forward conversations to have. Would you want to spend 3 years, $90 million on a point guard of advanced age? Should you have moved him at the deadline? Should you have drafted Jalen Suggs? There's lots of questions in the short term on what this means moving forward. But, you know, as I reflect and look back, it's just a long, long, bumpy road, but one that you're appreciative to be a part of the journey, covering it and watching it as a fan. And, you know, it's a reminder not to, you know, judge too soon on a player or a prospect, because you never know how it's going to turn out.
So I got to ask you what your defining image is of Kyle Lowry as a Raptor. Like, what's the one thing you'll think about when thinking back on the 9 seasons he spent here in Toronto?
Yeah, you know, Sid tweeted this, Zach Lowe's tweeted this, everyone said the statue has to be him taking a charge, right? And I don't know how you do that statue, because you then need to put another player in it, unless it's just him lying on the floor pointing the other way. But it's not him defensively taking the charge. It's really not even him on the court in the sense of him playing. The defining moment might be too dramatic, but the moment that sticks out to me the most, that to me defines Kyle Lowry, is the moments immediately after they won a championship. One, he gets the ball. He goes and gets the ball, and he did that after the conference championship win as well, because he knows, listen, this is valuable and this has come with me. Heads up play. But two, he somehow, and I still don't understand how, out of his peripheral vision during the chaos that is the celebration on the floor, spots Masai Ujiri being accosted by a police officer and beelines over there, and in the nick of time, grabs him, puts his arm around him, drags him on the floor, says a couple expletives, but mainly said, "You're with us. You're with us." And it defines him because of the presence, the awareness, the vision, the attitude to not take no for an answer, but he's the ultimate teammate. And think about the moments that those two men have been in. Multiple times Lowry was on the block and Masai could have dealt him. Multiple times Lowry was a free agent and Masai had to recruit him to stay. But early in their tenure, when the now famed non-trade to New York Knicks was going to go down, Masai brought him into his office and said, "Listen, you have an opportunity to make generational wealth for your family and change the perception of your career. But clearly you have to do things differently, because this is starting to become a trend. So who do you want to be in this league? Forget about me and this team. What do you want your last name to stand for?" Lowry goes off and not only plays at a crazy level, he becomes a multi-time All-Star. So the bond that those two men have, and just the presence of Lowry to squash the previous beef, to get over the feelings that Masai traded his best friend in DeMar DeRozan and traded his other best friend in Rudy Gay, him going over and grabbing Masai and grabbing him and bringing him on the court and screaming, "You're with us." It was, to me, the ultimate Kyle Lowry moment, because great player, sometimes a great quote, but every person who's been a part of the franchise that you talk to says, no matter what, he can be ornery, but he's a great teammate. And that was a great example.
Donovan Medit of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca joining us here on Sportsnet tonight. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you here on a special Kyle Lowry edition, as the now former Raptors set to join the Miami Heat on a 3-year deal worth $90 million. And just seeing this from Tim Reynolds of AP saying that in case there's any confusion, yes, this will be part of a sign and trade. So still waiting to see what exactly the Raptors are going to get back. We've seen a lot of speculation that Goran Dragic will be involved, potentially
Precious Achiuwa, the young player from Miami, maybe a draft pick. So still waiting to see what exactly is going to be the return for the Toronto Raptors. But, you know, quickly just to get back on more Kyle Lowry, because, I mean, this man can't get enough praise for what he's done during these nine seasons with the Toronto Raptors organization, Donovan. But, you know, you look at his, you know, resume and what he did, really coming into his own as a member of the Raptors, getting that opportunity that he didn't really get, you know, in Memphis and in Houston. Maybe he did get the opportunity, but as you mentioned, really turned things around in, you know, Toronto with Masai Ujiri, with Dwayne Casey, and then, of course, winning the title with Nick Nurse. But, you know, when you look at the entire career, I know I look at him as a Hall of Fame player. The title a few years ago obviously is the icing on the cake and probably gives me the push for him to make it into the Hall of Fame. But where do you land on that conversation with regards to Kyle and his future in Springfield? I mean, the career's not over. We know he's heading to Miami, but where do you land on that convo?
Oh, he's a Hall of Famer. In the championship, if there was a question, cemented it. Six All-Star selections and All-NBA third-team selection. He's got a championship, was the second most important player on a championship team, is the best player in the history of his franchise, and he has an Olympic gold medal. And really, when he has played internationally, someone that a team full of All-Stars really counted on in the clutch. I feel like the American team, both this summer and last summer, really missed what Kyle Lowry brings to the table. So he is certainly at this point a Hall of Famer. The general rule when you talk about Hall of Fames is, could you write the story of the sport without this person? And certainly you can't write the story of the Toronto Raptors without Kyle Lowry. And I don't think you can write the story of the modern day NBA without the Toronto Raptors. So that's my deductive logic to say that he is a Hall of Famer. And I think he has a little bit of a legacy. I mean, we talk about, and I've joked with Fred VanVleet about this, about how now there's a player comp in the drafts. And it's like, we want a Fred VanVleet type player, right? Whether it was Malachi Flynn last year, or to a lesser extent, Jalen Suggs, although he's much bigger this year. Well, Fred VanVleet is a Kyle Lowry type player, right? He literally learned in the lab beside Kyle Lowry, not to take anything away from Fred and his own ingenuity, but there's a mold and a model, right? And Kyle Lowry is showing that if you are someone who can dominate in the pick and roll, defend multiple positions, allow you to play with other lead point guards, move without the ball, be a spot-up three-point shooter, you can play a long time in this league. Now, I just said a lot of things that are difficult for a lot of people to do, but in the NBA, where every night you're getting the best from another talented point guard, and it's so difficult, given the rules, to stay in front of them, Lowry's been an elite perimeter defender and someone who's been able to consistently get buckets and set up his teammates while playing heavy, heavy minutes for the balance of his time as a lead starter in Toronto. So I think there's a mold that he's set, and no question, I think he is a Hall of Famer. And listen, with the team that they've set up in Miami, I'm not sure how they're going to age, but for the next year to 2 years, there's certainly going to be a problem. And now that Kyle Lowry will get on that Miami Heat, Pat Riley, you know, diet and workout plan, who knows how long he can stretch out this career. So there could be some more big playoff Kyle Lowry moments in the future.
Donovan Bennett joining us here on Sportsnet tonight. Rob Wong and Josh Goldberg with you here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. So now, as we look forward here, Donovan, to this Raptors roster, and like I said, we're still waiting to see what exactly the Raptors are going to be getting back in this sign and trade with Miami. I know Michael Grange of Sportsnet tweeted out a few minutes ago that he's hearing, if you know, Dragic is part of this, that his destination would be Dallas. That's where he would prefer to go. But what's next for the Raptors here as far as free agency and as far as the trade market goes, you think?
Well, there aren't really many great free agents left on the board, at least unrestricted ones. John Collins, the center out of Atlanta, who many people think both sides will begrudgingly just reconcile and he'll end up staying there. And a guy, I'm not sure if you've heard of him, by the name of Kawhi Leonard, who nobody really knows, as usual, what he's up to. The understanding that he's probably going to stay in LA, but he's going to take other offers. But I think the real question for whoever's going to be making that decision, whether it's going to continue to be Masai or if it's going to be Bobby Webster on his lonesome, is what are you and how close are you from competing? Because certainly I think you can keep some of that cap space. You don't have to spend it all in one place and save some room for a potential deadline move if this team surprises you and is a bit better than we saw in Tampa when they're back home and they're settled. Or you can take on some expirings and absorb some of that cap space and really take some sweeteners for taking some expiring deals and get some future assets via draft capital and really build for the next 2, 3, 4 years when your core will be in their prime. And so I don't know how close realistically, and this is where self-assessment comes in, as we're seeing a lot of big money spent by teams that doesn't really make sense today from my perspective. You've got the Brooklyn Nets, you've got the Milwaukee Bucks, you now have the Miami Heat, and whatever happens with Philly, there's still going to be a player. How realistic is it for you to challenge that for a title in the East in the short term? Should you be building out to outlast some of those big fish in the long term? Or do you want to get some assets to make a run at your own big fish and keep that cap space for the next disgruntled star who wants to move? Maybe that's Dame Lillard now or at the deadline. Maybe that's Bradley Beal now or at the deadline. Or maybe that's Ben Simmons. And maybe that's why Jalen Suggs wasn't the draft pick on draft night, because you see someone like Ben Simmons being a backcourt player in the future. So I think there's some options. I think really in the question is, what do you assess with this core in terms of how close they are to competing and what that risk capital looks like? And what is becoming a very, very more competitive top of the East? I think there's some hard questions to be asked at OVO now that Kyle Lowry is no longer part of the future.
Yeah, definitely some big question marks moving forward here for the Raptors, both on the court and off the court with Masai Ujiri as well. Donovan, we appreciate you jumping on tonight. Always appreciate the perspective, pal. Thanks for doing it.
Anytime.
There's Donovan Bennett of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. So the Toronto Raptors are beginning life without Kyle Lowry, who is set to join the Miami Heat as part of a sign and trade, as the Heat will get Lowry on a 3-year deal worth $30 million per season, Josh. Not many players beyond the age of 35 have signed deals that will pay them that much money. It's a pretty small crew of people, LeBron James, of course, being one of those players. I've seen some others as well, Kobe Bryant, Dirk Nowitzki, and Kyle Lowry. That's the list. Four players have signed 35-year-older deals for at least $20 million, so that's pretty outrageous. Kyle Lowry, of course, deserving of it, still playing at an extremely high level. And the Miami Heat have targeted him for quite a while now. Like we mentioned, they didn't pull the trigger on a deal at the trade deadline, and maybe there's some buyer's remorse. Maybe there was some regret there because now they're going at him in free agency. But, Donovan touched on a lot of stuff there. Just looking back at Kyle Lowry's, history with the Toronto Blue Jays and the ups and downs and ultimately what it led to and winning an NBA title a few seasons ago. Vince Carter was here, obviously left an impact. Chris Bosh was here, left an impact. DeMar DeRozan as well, Kawhi Leonard. But Kyle Lowry might have left the most lasting impact on this Raptors franchise.
Well, I also remember the fact that he re-signed here twice. After, I think it was the 2014 season, he re-signed here on a 4-year deal. And then after they got swept out of the playoffs in unceremonious fashion, I think it was in 2017 by, obviously, Cleveland, he signed here again. And instead of just saying, we're not good enough, I don't want to be here, I want to go somewhere else that is closer realistically to winning a championship, maybe out of the East so I don't have to see LeBron anymore, something like that, he continued to say, no, we're going to get it done here in Toronto, and I want to be part of the long-term solution to getting it done here in Toronto. And then obviously the Kawhi trade happened, that changed the equation a little bit, and his pal DeMar got traded out of town. But instead of abandoning ship at a number of different opportunities, looking for a trade, something like that, he continued to say, no, I want to wear this. I want to be here for when the worm turns and we're good enough to win a championship. and the head can be held as high as possible. There's no issue whatsoever about leaving at this point. Nobody I can think of, certainly in recent history in any sport, or certainly in Toronto sports, is leaving on such good terms where you could just say, yeah, I wish him the best. I know it's the Eastern Conference, but everyone's going to be cheering for Kyle Lowry regardless. If you're watching a Miami Heat game as a Raptor fan against the Raptors or against anyone else, you see Kyle take a charge, hit a three, you're not going to be booing. You're not going to be all that upset. There's always going to be a sweet spot for Raptors fans for Kyle Lowry. And it just speaks to what he was able to do here, both on and off the court in his 9 years, nine seasons.
Yeah, it's really too bad that he didn't get, you know, a big send-off, obviously playing in Tampa for the last couple of years in the bubble, of course, and then Raptors being in Tampa this past season. But the next time he comes back to Scotiabank Arena, to Toronto as a member of the Miami Heat, that building is going to absolutely explode, and it's going to be really, really a great moment in Raptors franchise history, and well-deserved for one Kyle Lowry. But it is Sportsnet tonight here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you, talking about Kyle Lowry joining the Miami Heat on a sign-and-trade with the Raptors. Still waiting to find out what exactly the Raptors are going to be getting in this sign-and-trade. A lot of speculation, of course. Goran Dragic probably involved, Precious Achiuwa, the young Miami Heat forward, maybe a draft pick or two involved as well, but we shall see. We are taking your text, 590-590. Give us your name and your location if you want to give us a call as well. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590. Phone lines are open to get your thoughts on Kyle Lowry joining the Miami Heat. What is next as well for this Raptors franchise? You can give us your thoughts. Here with you until the top of the hour. Still to come, we'll hear a little piece that Sportsnet's Michael Grange put together recently on Kyle Lowry and his legacy with the Toronto Raptors. But still lots more to come here on Sportsnet tonight. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Game night is the best night, and we're not talking rummy, canasta, or baccarat. All your games in one place. This is Sportsnet tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sportsnet tonight, Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet Radio Network. The Toronto Raptors making moves today as NBA free agency now underway. And one of the moves involves watching one of their former players now take his talents off to South Beach and join the Miami Heat as part of a sign and trade. Kyle Lowry joining the Miami Heat on a 3-year deal worth $90 million. Still waiting to find out the details and what exactly the Raptors are going to be getting back in exchange for the greatest Raptor of all time. Meanwhile, Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that Gary Trent Jr., the young swingman who came to the Raptors in the trade with the Portland Trail Blazers last season with Norm Powell going the other way, has agreed to a 3-year deal worth $54 million to return to the Raptors. The deal includes a player option on the third year, Josh. So Trent Jr. sort of betting on himself a little bit here, hoping that the first few seasons here are going to go well, returning to the Raptors. But I would say overall, pretty a low-risk move for the Raptors there. Gary Trent's still very, very young. And we saw him, of course, put up, what, 40 points in a game with the Raptors last season, 22 years old. They don't have a ton of scoring, and this is a guy that can fill it up. So I think we all expected Gary Trent Jr. to return to the Raptors and get another kick at the can here. So, like I said, not too much risk on the Raptors' side of things in this deal.
You always want shooting around too, right? He is a good catch and shoot guy. He can shoot off the dribble. He can create for himself a little bit. There's a lot to like about a 22-year-old who's still developing. And if you realize in a year or two that maybe there's a move out there that makes a little bit more sense than what Gary Trent is bringing to the table, him making, I don't know, $17, $18 million, I'm not exactly sure how the contract is going to be structured, that's going to be a very, very movable asset. Like there, it's a big-time asset one way or the other, whether he's playing for you or whether you end up dangling him in a trade. And they're going to need guys to put the ball in the hoop, because right now there's not a ton of that in terms of consistency scoring. Guys getting their own shots, getting to the rim. Siakam, if he can bounce back, he'll be there. Van Vliet as well. But you're looking at Trent and OG as, well, what can they bring in that regard? Can OG take another step with more responsibilities? Probably going to have the ball in his hands a little bit more with Lowry not here. There are guys like Scotty Barnes. How much is he bringing to the table? Malachi Flynn taking another step forward. We'll see what else they do. Is Ken Birch going to be back? There's going to be a lot to pick up in terms of playmaking and scoring to an extent with Kyle Lowry's departure. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, how the Raptors divvy it up in terms of the shot distribution.
Yeah, it really will be interesting. They've got some ball handlers, of course, and guys that can create their own shots just a little bit, but always need more of that for sure. And Gary Trent Jr. is someone that can fill it up from time to time. Once again, you can get us on the text line 590-590. Give us your name and your location, your thoughts on the Kyle Lowry move to Miami. We'll also take your phone calls if you're so inclined. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Here with you until the top of the hour. Jonathan Zaslow, host of the Zaslow Show on 790 The Ticket down in Miami, will join us in about 12 minutes or so. We'll get his thoughts on this move from a Heat perspective. But seen a couple of texts. Buster from Peterborough chimes in, says, thank you, Kyle. We love you, man. Good luck in Miami. And Gerber from Toronto says, why not draft Suggs? Josh, the perfect replacement for Lowry. If you know he's leaving, Van Vliet more of a shooting guard. My guess is Masai leaves. Messed up the organization, says Gerber. Ooh, have to trade Siakam as well. Not too happy. Jalen Suggs, he wanted him so bad. I guess that really got him a little upset with what happened there. But I guess, you know, that makes it even more interesting that, you know, a lot of people felt the same way. I mean, he's not alone in that, that if you had an inclination Kyle Lowry was leaving, why not draft a guy that could be potentially his replacement in Jalen Suggs? But I guess, you know, that shows maybe how much the Raptors love Scotty Barnes, that they felt, okay, here's a guy that can step in, but we think this guy can be even better. So I imagine that was the thinking behind that.
Yeah, and apparently there are some reports about not a great workout with Suggs and the Raptors. I don't know how much that played into the decision. You would have to assume some, but Scotty Barnes is their cup of tea, right, as far as player type as an organization. Positionless basketball, versatility defensively, playmaking, and a project as a shooter. It sounds familiar because, like, there have been plenty of guys like that. OG Anunoby couldn't really shoot a lick coming out of college, and he's improved big time. Pascal Siakam sort of the same way. That's what they do, right? They get you in the lab, and they improve your weaknesses, and they drill it into you in a big way. And I expect that, to some extent, that's going to happen with Scotty Barnes. Maybe they rue the decision not to draft Jalen Suggs. It's very, very possible because he seems like a very polished player top to bottom. Personality-wise as well, would have been a great Lowry replacement. But I think there is some concern point guard-wise what they have in terms of just a primary ball handler. But I think that the offensive ecosystem is going to change here a little bit. I don't think that they're going to look to have that floor general that they've had here in Kyle Lowry for the longest time. Lots of guys are going to handle the ball, and they're going to play big, I think, a bunch. Or like, I guess big is not necessarily the right word because I don't know if they're going to have a 7-footer out there, but they might have lineups where there's four guys who are, you know, 6'7", 6'9", and then Van Vliet. And just guys who are all capable of putting the ball on the floor and creating for themselves or for someone else. It's unconventional, but I think that that might be what Raptors fans have to get used to a little bit in terms of what a post-Lowry ecosystem might look like, at least in the immediate aftermath.
Yeah, positionless basketball. We know how much the Raptors love that, and I imagine we're going to see a lot of that next season. As they're still going to make some additions for sure. They have to. They need some size up front. They need some bigs, but they definitely have a lot of guys that are interchangeable pieces around the lineup. Like I mentioned, coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we'll talk to Jonathan Zaslow, host of the Zaslow Show on 790 The Ticket in Miami. But our own Michael Grange of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca recently did a piece taking a look back at Kyle Lowry's 9 years in Toronto. Here that is.
Winner.
Lowry takes the charge.
Raptors legend.
What a gamer.
Leader.
The heart and soul of this Raptors organization.
The ultimate professional.
One of the best in the business.
The greatest Raptor of all time.
Thank you.
It's not only the big buckets.
Lowry, a prayer at the buzzer.
Or the clutch assists.
But an incredible pass by Kyle Lowry for the game winner.
It's not the all-star appearances, or even that on the biggest stage, his light shone the brightest.
Kyle Lowry has shown up in Oakland.
It's how he made it all happen and what he stood for. It's the otherworldly basketball smarts.
He's a basketball savant, really.
The fearless hustle.
Diving for it, Lowry.
The leadership.
You know, how can you not love this guy and what he brings to the table every single time he steps on the floor?
Kyle Lowry is the greatest Raptor of all time, not only because of what he got done on the floor, but because he set a standard for what it means to compete, for what winning basketball looks like. Anyone lucky enough to watch it will never forget it. It's been a journey. When Lowry arrived in Toronto in the summer of 2012, he was the backup plan at point guard after Steve Nash decided to sign with the Lakers. He came to the franchise with some question marks, a reputation as being tough on coaches.
You know, when you're battling, you're scrapping,
you're frustrated.
Meanwhile, he saw the franchise as a short-term stop on his way to his next move. In his second season in Toronto, the Raptors got off to a 6-12 start. Rudy Gay was traded, and the rebuild was on.
Let's face it, the Raptors are rigging for Wiggins like no team in the NBA right now.
Lowry himself was minutes away from being sent to New York. His bags were packed, but the Knicks got cold feet. And the Raptors have never been the same.
Kyle Lowry, he's doing everything for the Raptors.
Lowry and DeMar DeRozan take the Raptors on an unexpected run, turning the season around, winning the Atlantic Division, and setting a franchise record for victories. They come up short in round one versus Brooklyn.
Lowry put it up. It's blocked by Pierce, and the Nets win the series.
But a new era is born.
We're only going to get better. You know, this is only a start for us.
Raptors fans watched Lowry's game grow through ups and downs.
Kyle Lowry has really endeared himself to the fans here in Toronto.
The All-Star appearances were mounting, and there was a trip to the conference finals, but postseason satisfaction was slow coming. Standing in the way, always it seemed, was LeBron James.
Throws up the floater. God bless! Good night!
In the summer of 2018, things change. Lowry's longtime head coach, Dwayne Casey, is fired. And more surprisingly, his best friend, DeMar DeRozan, is dealt to the San Antonio Spurs in exchange for Kawhi Leonard. Toronto begins the playoffs with a different swagger this time. They surge past Orlando and get the bounces they need against the 76ers. In the conference finals, they come back from down 2-0 to beat the Milwaukee Bucks.
Lowry to Leonard, left-handed slam over Antetokounmpo!
Lowry's role is different. He's happy to take a step back on offense while making sure his teammates get everything they need everywhere else. But in Oakland, in Game 6, with a chance to win a title on the line, he comes out firing, putting the Raptors on his back.
Lowry lighting it up here in the first 2-plus minutes. He's got 11 points already.
En route to clinching the franchise's first NBA championship.
Canada, the NBA title is yours.
Toronto, Canada, we brought it home, baby. We brought it home.
During the parade, Lowry provides one more image for the ages. He rolls through downtown Toronto wearing a Damon Stoudemire jersey, a tribute to the original Raptors point guard. The guy who was supposed to be just passing through the city is the one weaving together the fabric of a franchise's past, present, and future. He leaves as the greatest Raptor of all time, and the numbers say so. But they don't tell the whole story, not even close. Lowry will be the first Raptor to have his jersey retired, and the first one with a statue, too. But it won't be just because of the stats or the floor burns or even the championship. Kyle Lowry meant something. Lowry taught a city and a country the right way to play because it was the only way he knew how.
The growth of Kyle Lowry from when I got here to today is remarkable. Because there's something about him that's all competition, that's all winning.
The kid from North Philly became the heart and soul of We the North. It's a bond that will stand the test of time.
The journey. It's been a great journey.
There is Sportsnet's Michael Grange's piece on Kyle Lowry. 9 years wrapped up there in about 6 minutes or so, and what a 9 years it was for Kyle Lowry in a Raptors uniform. And that time has potentially come to an end. Maybe we'll see Kyle Lowry sign the old one-day deal with the Raptors in the future. But today, the Toronto Raptors losing Kyle Lowry to the Miami Heat as part of a sign and trade as he takes his talents to South Beach on a 3-year deal worth $90 million. Still waiting to see what the Raptors are going to get back in the sign and trade. It is Sportsnet tonight. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet Radio Network with you until the top of the hour. You can give us a shout on the text line 590-590. Give us your name and your location. You can also call us 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590. Let's head to the phone lines, and Daniel in Toronto joins us now here on Sportsnet tonight. Daniel, your thoughts on Kyle Lowry's time in Toronto coming to an end, at least for now?
Well, I mean, I have many, many thoughts in terms of the player. I mean, he brought us a championship. So if you're my age and you've watched Raptors for 25 years, you cannot be unhappy about that. Number one, I mean, the way he played, his basketball IQ, his ability to play defense and offense, be able to lead a team like a true point guard, which you don't see that often anymore. You know, he was unbelievable, probably one of the greatest Toronto athletes of all time. Questions, what are we getting back in this sign and trade? Because we know Miami didn't have the cap space to sign that $30 million for 3 years. So why haven't we been given that information? That's interesting that they haven't announced the other half. And the Gary Trent deal, I think, is great. I mean, he's 22 years old, so you can't go wrong. You're giving him 3 years at that amount of money. I think he's pretty athletic. He'll produce. And like I said, I mean, you know, it's bittersweet because we lose Lowry. But, you know, we saw a championship. So, like I said, you're my age. Watched the Raptors for 25 years. You're an NBA fan. You saw a championship in Toronto. And Kyle Lowry played like, I'm not a huge hockey fan, but played like a hockey player with a blue-collar work ethic that people loved here in Toronto.
I appreciate the call, Daniel. Echo those sentiments for sure. You saw Kyle Lowry raise a title in Toronto and be the first Raptor, part of that first Raptors team to do it. So you're definitely not disappointed with how things turned out with Kyle Lowry at the helm. We appreciate your thoughts. Coming up, we'll talk to Jonathan Zaslow, host of Zaslow Show on 790 The Ticket in Miami. Get a Heat perspective. What's going to happen now with Lowry in the fold? Does Pat Riley have more up his sleeve to improve that Heat team? We'll get Jonathan's thoughts coming up next here on Sportsnet tonight. Rob and Josh on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Nights ranked in reverse order. Date night, medieval night, and number one, Sportsnet tonight. Tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It is Sportsnet tonight here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you. Kyle Lowry, now a member of the Miami Heat, set to join the Heat as part of a sign-and-trade with the Raptors. Still waiting to see what exactly the Raptors are going to get in this sign-and-trade. Lots of speculation. Goran Dragic, maybe Precious Achiuwa, the young Heat forward, maybe a draft pick or two. We shall see. But what we do know is Kyle Lowry is now a member of the Miami Heat. Joining us now on the line to get a Miami perspective is Jonathan Zaslow, host of Zaslow Show on 790 The Ticket down in Florida. Jonathan, thanks for joining us tonight. How you doing?
I'm okay. I'm just glad we didn't even wait 24 hours to get our payback for the Canadian women's soccer team beating us. So, like, we're even now, man. We're good.
I guess so. I guess this is the revenge for sure after what we saw over in Tokyo. Now, when it comes to Kyle Lowry, you know, he's the classic. You love the guy when he's on your team. You can't stand him when he's on the opposition. Well, what are Heat fans feeling today with this news that I guess has been, you know, bubbling? It's been percolating over the last few days here.
Yeah, I think the way you put it is pretty succinct. Where for me, you know, this is a player that I did not like watching the Heat play against. Found them to be really annoying to watch on the other end. And this is someone who I'm glad I don't have to play against anymore. I'm glad I don't have to, you know, be on the broadcast calling against this guy and being annoyed at the flops and, you know, the complaining. And, you know, this is a player who, while he was annoying to play against, I will have no problem being completely hypocritical and now rooting for him on our end, because he's probably really easy to like when he's on your side. You know, he's not a player who actually, like, he's not a bad guy, okay? You could easily look past the on-the-court stuff when it's benefiting your team. He's not a dirty player. I mean, he's got those savvy veteran point guard moves. You know, Chris Paul's got the same moves. John Stockton used to have those same moves. You know, Kyle Lowry's got all that stuff. So I'm glad it's going to be on our end now. I think Heat fans are excited about it, but they're excited because it's shaken things up. Obviously, you know, this season was a massive disappointment for us. So this is a major shakeup. And I think we're also hoping that it's the first of, you know, another big step that they're trying to pull off. This is definitely not the only big move they're trying to accomplish.
So I guess I got to ask, is there going to be a tougher team in the NBA than the Miami Heat now with Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry, Spoelstra, Pat Riley, the whole organization? Like, how tough is it going to be for opponents to have to go up against the Miami Heat this year, you think?
Well, that's the part that, at least for right now, even before, I mean, I'm lukewarm on just the straight up, you know, Kyle Lowry over Goran Dragic. I'm emotional. Like, I'd be a terrible general manager. I get attached to our players. I don't want to trade anyone, okay? And Goran Dragic has been arguably the greatest point guard in the history of the franchise. The only other one who's in the conversation is Tim Hardaway, whose number's in the Raptors at FTX Arena in Miami. So I don't love just Lowry over Dragic. I like it for a couple of reasons. One, I do think it's a precursor to another move. But number two, it gets the Heat back to what they needed to be. And that's a team that's led by dogs. Okay. That's when this team, you know, since Pat Riley got here in 1995, that's been the franchise's MO, is they are dogs. And Jimmy Butler's a dog, and Bam Adebayo's a dog, and Kyle Lowry's a dog. And so now when you got your top three guys who are big time workers and effort and tough guys, we got to get back to that. We didn't have enough of that last year. We were a little bit too soft. And now I think Kyle Lowry puts us back in that direction where we can get back to the identity of being dogs.
Yeah, I think you know, next year's Raptors games might be scoring like it's 1997 based on the defense that both of those teams could potentially play next year. So you mentioned, you know, this could open the door for some more moves here for Miami. There's been some, you know, speculation that maybe DeMar DeRozan could be joining his best friend there in Miami, potentially on the mid-level exception. Is that something that, you know, you would entertain if you were the Miami Heat? Maybe is there just a little bit too much nostalgia as part of that? Where do you land on those rumors that maybe DeMar DeRozan could be taking his talents to South Beach as well?
No, I like it. I mean, I spent most of my show this afternoon, this morning on that, the idea that I like the Lowry move if it's a precursor to say, and to DeRozan, hey, you've never won a championship before. What if you and your buddy got back together? You got a good chance when you join us, we could be a championship team. And, you know, our style fits you and you get to be with Kyle Lowry again. And, you know, you got the whole no state tax and all that good stuff that we sprinkle on top of that. So, yeah, I'm way in on them going after DeRozan. I mean, look, I don't need to tell you guys, but DeRozan is very much a player in a similar vein of Jimmy Butler, very similar style. I don't think DeRozan is the same defensive player that he was a few years ago, but he's certainly not bad. I'm way in on the Heat trying to get DeMar DeRozan. But here's the problem that I look at. Like, if I'm DeMar DeRozan, you know, he's going to have to take the mid-level exception. The Heat would obviously give him the full mid-level exception, which starts at $9.5 million. But here's the thing, if I'm DeMar DeRozan. If I'm DeRozan, I look at the Heat and I'm like, hey, I'm 31 years old. I'm in my prime. Kyle Lowry's 35 years old. You just gave him $90 million. Why am I the one? I'm the one who hasn't won a championship yet. Kyle Lowry has won a championship yet already. Why isn't he the one who's sacrificing and taking the small money? And you sign and trade for me with San Antonio so I could still get paid what I'm worth, because DeMar DeRozan on the open market can easily get between $20 and $25 million. He's still a very big-time scorer in this league. So I'm into the idea of getting DeMar DeRozan, but all that nostalgia and all those good feelings, they always take a backseat to money, as they should.
Before we let you go, there's been all sorts of rumblings, but it seems like Precious Achiuwa will end up being involved in the return in a sign and trade. Not sure if he's going to stick around in Toronto, but if he does, you know, what are the Raptors getting in this second-year player out of Memphis?
You're getting a really young player, of course, who is highly athletic, big energy guy. He's got good hands, but he can block shots around the rim, as you know the whole world saw last week in Tokyo when he, you know, stuffed Kevin Durant in that U.S. Nigeria game. And so this is a kid who is high energy and long, but very limited offensive game right now. If you've been paying attention to the Olympics at all, he has expanded a little bit to shooting mid-range jumpers. He did very little of that with us last year. Defensively, obviously has a ton of room to grow. Had a little bit of trouble with team defensive concepts with us last year, so you couldn't really count on him in big spots defensively down the stretch of games. But this is a really young player, high energy, who does have a jump shot that will continue to improve. Everyone likes that in today's NBA with those big guys.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he potentially fits with this Raptors roster moving forward, if that is the case. Jonathan, we appreciate the time today. Enjoy Kyle Lowry. Take care of Kyle Lowry for us. Thanks so much for this, and enjoy the upcoming season.
All right, take it easy, guys.
There's Jonathan Zaslow, host of Zaslow Show on 790 The Ticket down in Miami. As the Heat have acquired Kyle Lowry as part of a sign and trade with the Toronto Raptors. He signed a 3-year deal, $90 million as part of this with the Heat. Still waiting to see exactly the return the Raptors will get. Still lots to be figured out here, as nothing is official at this point. But Josh, your final thoughts on the news today with Kyle Lowry going to the Miami Heat?
Yeah, I'm excited. I got to say, I'm excited to watch the Heat. To be a fly on the wall of Miami Heat practices with Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry and Eric Spoelstra barking at guys. If your effort isn't there in Miami next year, you're not going to make it on that team. Those guys will eat you up. So I'm excited to see how that goes. And yeah, very bittersweet because it was a great run here for 9 seasons. But excited to see what the statue looks like in front of Scotiabank Arena. Is it him taking a charge? What do they do?
Yeah, I was going to say the statue has to be upright. I don't think you can have a statue that's just Kyle Lowry laying down after taking a charge. So it's going to be interesting to see how that shapes up. But I echo everything you said. What a ride it was for 9 seasons. Of course, a big championship for Kyle Lowry as a member of the Toronto Raptors, but now set to join the Miami Heat. That'll do it for us on this special edition of Sportsnet tonight. Thanks to Kyle Norris and Andrew Holland. For Josh Goldberg, I'm Rob Wong. Thanks for tuning in. CBS Radio coming up next here on the Sportsnet Radio Network.